Good afternoon, everyone. What is your favorite subject? Who are we most comfortable talking about? Who do we love talking about? Be honest now. Who do we love to be talking about? You remember the song, I Want to Talk About Me? Was that Toby Keith, I believe? Yeah, I want to talk about me. He says, we talk about you, about your boss, about your church, your head when it hurts, trouble with your brother, your daddy and your mother, your friends and places you've been, your skin and the devil on your chin, polish on your toes and runner in your hose. We know, and of course we know you'll talk about your clothes, you know. But every once in a while, I like to talk about me. You know, once in a while, I'd like to talk about me. So, I want to talk about me. I have a nice house with five glass sliders, doors to view my backyard so I never get bored. You know, I have a nice street with neighbors to meet, a garden to plow so I have plenty of chow, of course, a wonderful wife who gives me no strife. I mean, that's got to be a good one, isn't it? A dog who will bark at things in the dark. I'm just 20 minutes from church when I can sit up front on my perch. I mean, I am pretty comfortable. I mean, how does it get much better than that? Well, my title today is The Comfortable Christian. And my purpose, you might say, is to say, what is a comfortable Christian? So am I a comfortable Christian? Well, there's something here maybe I ought to bring up. You remember Jeremiah 17:9? I think probably most of you will. Jeremiah 17:9. Say, I'm real comfortable. I feel secure. It says in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things. And also, I wouldn't turn there, but in Mark 7, like in 20, 23, somewhere there, you know, the attitudes and the emotions of the heart just aren't that good. And it says in verse 10, I, the Lord, the Eternal, search the heart, and I test the mind, because we're just simply not able to do it on our own. I test the mind, even to give every man according to the fruit of his doings. So there. Well, my title, of course, The Comfortable Christian, and what is he? How does Revelation chapter 3... verses 14 through 22, the parable of the talents, and the parable of the 10 virgins of Matthew 25. How does that apply to the comfortable Christian? I'd like to talk about that. You know, I like to talk about me. Well, let's talk about this maybe. I'm pretty comfortable in my situation, pretty comfortable. Let's look at Revelation chapter 1. And here Jesus is speaking to the church. And we like to count ourselves as the church, don't we? So, Revelation chapter 1. here it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants. This is a revelation that Jesus is going to reveal to his servants things which must shortly take place. And in verse 4, who is this? It says, John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you, Revelation 1:4, and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits are before him. And in verse 8, I mean, this is pretty powerful, something that the church needs to listen to. I am Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is, who was, yes, he was, and who is to come, the Almighty. So it's something we really should pay attention to, I believe. And we could go to Isaiah 9:6. I'll turn right back here in just a minute. Isaiah, there it is, Isaiah 9, and verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So this is a being that the church needs to really pay attention to, right? Back in Revelation chapter 3, we see this being, Jesus Christ, gives a warning in Revelation 3:19. And I feel it's a warning to the comfortable Christian. Revelation 3:19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. And in verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Is anybody going to open it? If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and dine with him, and he with me. In other words, I will fellowship with him. You go through the epistles, you go through the gospels, and people were dining and fellowshipping together. He said, I mean, when you're going to dine, that gets close. You know, that's when you get close. If you want to get to know someone, you dine with them. Now back to verse 14 in Revelation 3. Yes, the famous Laodiceans. Well, I say famous because from 1967 to now, I've heard a lot about Laodiceans. To the angel in verse 14, Church of the Laodiceans, write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation. And we know we can look at John 1 and the Word was the Creator. And in verse 15, what's it say there? I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. Notice it's the works that are neither cold nor hot. If you're neither cold nor hot, what are you? Well, you're comfortable, aren't you? You get the temperature just right, and you're comfortable. It feels good. Those works were neither cold nor hot. He said, I wish they were in or out. Excuse me. If you might remember the two sons, it'd be in Matthew 21. I won't turn there. One of them said, "Yes, sir, I go." And the other said, "No," but then he went. And Jesus said, "You going to be in or out? If you're neither cold nor hot, of course, you're comfortable in the way that you are in works." He's talking to God's church here. And in verse 16, "So then, because you are lukewarm," does anybody like lukewarm coffee? I don't know. You're probably thinking, "I'd take any of it right now because I'm dozing off in this sermon." But, you know, you want, the waitress comes back, "May I warm up your coffee?" "Holy sure." You know, unless you got it just right. Just the right of cream, just enough sugar. Then you don't need anything, do you? No. Lukewarm is just not tasty. You know, in verse 17 also, what's the message here? "Because you say, I am rich." Well, rich in works, rich spiritually. In other words, I'm comfortable here. I'm just comfortable here. I'm doing okay. I'm rich. I've become wealthy. And I have need of nothing. If you have need of nothing, you're pretty comfortable. Where are you? You got enough money. You got enough health. You got enough hair. Whatever it is that makes you... Okay, I'll move on from that one. But in other words, you got what you need. Do not know, but he says, "And do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked." All the things that the comfortable Christian thinks he has, he doesn't have. No, lukewarm. "I'm rich. I'm spiritually comfortable. I really don't need anything, Lord. I need nothing. Look at my spiritual knowledge I have." Well, I've been attending church for 50 years. How could I need anything else? I even have some special spiritual knowledge that the church doesn't even have. Yeah. Over 50 years, you see that creep in and out several times. You know, well, I'd say the latest thing I've heard, what is it? The word was not the God that dealt directly with Israel. You know, that's cropped up. I'm trying to think how many times in my 50 years, but it doesn't matter. It just keeps coming. It just keeps diminishing until even comes to the point where Jesus is not our Savior. Because these heresies come in. So what does it say there in Acts 20:28? It just says that take heed that the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to the shepherd of the church, which he purchased with his own blood. So, I mean, those heresies just reappear periodically. I'm such an overachiever. I don't really need anything, and I need to get everybody on board with me. You know, remember the fig tree? I won't turn there. Hey, it looked beautiful. Covered with leaves. There was no fruit. That'd be in Luke 13. I don't want to turn there. Now let's look at the parable of the talents. And I'll be getting some information from the Ministerial Journal. Mario Siegley wrote back in May, I believe. So let's look at that parable in Matthew 25. Matthew 25. Verse 14, notice that these servants were given differing amounts of talents. Or you might say spiritual gifts. According to this article, a talent was like worth about 6,000 days of paid labor. That's a pretty good chunk of cash. In today's, a talent would be about $600,000. So this wasn't a small thing that the master left with his servants. So let's look at verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. Verse 15, and to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, according to his own abilities. And immediately he went on a journey. So after delivering, which wasn't a small amount to his servants to do and to work with those amounts, whatever they had. One had 5, 2 had 1, just had 1. There's a parable of pounds, which is different. Everyone received the same amount in that parable. We won't be getting there. And so in verse 16, the wise were not satisfied with their spiritual life, you could say. Verse 16, then he had received 5 talents, went and traded with them, and made another 5 talents. He didn't say, well, thanks for the 5 talents. I'll put these away, and I'll keep them for you. No. He went to work, whereas he was not comfortable with what he had. The master had given him 5 talents. Well, this is plenty. This is all I need. And he could have just, I guess, blown it on himself. And we'll see when the 1 talent, what would happen if he would have. So he went to work. In verse 17, and likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more. So each one doubled what their master had given them. Each one. And then verse 18, but he had received 1, what did he do? He went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. He just, he didn't need the talent. He was okay with what he had. I'm just going to put this away. I don't want to lose it. But I need to go on and be about my business. Right? I just want to be about my business. Then he did not obey his master, which left it with him to trade. He didn't catch any vision of what could be done with a talent, if this information is correct, worth, what, several thousands of dollars, a talent of silver. He was satisfied, he was comfortable, and He was just going to set on it because he didn't really need to do anything. And in verse 19, after a long time, oh, that there, after a long time, that really, that gets us after a long time. 1972, 1982, you know. The original apostles expected Christ. Some indication of that. No, after a long time, you know, that test of time, can be a hard one. No, after a long time, I see in verse 20, so he had received 5 talents, came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more besides them. And so then what did the Lord say? His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. He was good. He was faithful. He did what was expected of him. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. And also then, what about the one that had two? Verse 22, he also who had received two talents came and said, Lord, you delivered me two talents. Look, I have gained two more talents beside them. And so what did the Lord say to him? Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. If you notice there, the two received the same reward because they used what they had been given. They used the talents they were given, and they received the same reward. And then verse 24, the one talent. Oh, yeah, the one talent. He says, then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. Oh, I know you're a tough man. So he was unwilling to work or take a risk, wasn't he? He was just in our case, you could say, well, I could lose my job. I could lose my family. Even it might be I could lose my life. Of course, you could lose your job. Sabbath's not the only reason a Christian can lose his job. You know, just not being part of the world. A man was telling me he was a car salesman, and he's being hired as a salesman. And then they had a little lecture with him, and he said, and one of the things was, now if somebody calls and they say, I'm looking for a certain car, you could say a Toyota Corolla with white wall tires or whatever. He said, you always say, yes, we have it. Because they wanted to get them in the door. This man said, I can't do that. You know, if he calls, he's driving from Weatherford, Oklahoma, or wherever, and he comes here and I don't have the car. I won't do it. Well, he didn't get the job. So, you know, there's other ways. You know, you're putting at risk. This the one talent was unwilling to take any risk. In other words, he was satisfied the way he was. Maybe peer pressure. So he just hide his Christianity. Just, you know, go along with everything. Lay low, go along with whatever's going on in the job or the office, the jokes or whatever that might be happening. In other words, he didn't get into the arena and go to work. I always like that quote from Theodore Roosevelt, and let's see if I can read this. Yes, I can. It's not the critic who counts. Not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs. He makes errors. Have any of you made a mistake spiritually? Yeah, if you're in the arena, you probably will. Who comes short again and again because there's no effort without error. When you're doing things, things can happen. We used to think that on the job. Somebody would say, well, this guy, look what he did over here. Well, he was doing something. He was doing something. Maybe it didn't work out this time, but he learned something. He was out there doing. And that's the way we are. Are we out there doing, or are we very comfortable? You know, shortcomings, but who does actually strive to do the deeds? Who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotion? Who spends himself on a worthy cause? I think we'll get to a place where Jesus said, buy me gold tried in the fire. What are we going to buy with? God doesn't need money. We have to buy with our life. But he, as he says here, spends himself in a worthy cause. So that was the talent, the one talent. He thought it was just too hard. And it is hard at times. Why try? I've just got a small amount. You know, look at these other guys. Look how much they have. I've just got a small amount. He thought it was too hard. Remember back when influential men were teaching that we no longer need to abide by God's law, whether it be the Sabbath or tithing. And I was talking to one person at that time, because, I mean, that was a big issue. And we talked. And this person said, well, you know, I've always done what the church told me to do. And he said, now they say I don't have to do that. And he said, it's a lot easier. Yeah, it is. Stepping out of comfort zone is never easy, is it? You know, the wicked servant failed to discharge his assigned duties. And we, as a slave of Jesus Christ, have our duties. And you know, grace never condones irresponsibility. There's never time to stop spiritually or to be comfortable with this world's morality. We can get comfortable with it because we just see it repeated enough, and pretty soon, you know, we can just get comfortable with what's going on. Just get comfortable with it and abide by it. But, you know, in the parable of the talents, each person only had to double his initial amount to receive the same commendation. That's in verse 21. If you notice, we had read that, verse 22, that the master said, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. They used what they had. You know. And also just there, if we just look up in the beginning of verse 1 on chapter 25, we see 10 virgins. Yes. And we know, I don't think we need to turn 2 Corinthians 11:2, that Paul said that he wanted to present us as chaste virgins to the Lord. Where it's uncontaminated with the religion of this world, uncompromising with, like Mr. Redline mentioned, you know, blatantly lying to God to look good or whatever reason. We would not be a chaste virgin if we were doing that. So Matthew 25, verse 1 through 4. Now the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. So they all had lamps, all 10 of them. Didn't they? Now, 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. They had oil in their lamp at one time because the lamps were going out. It wasn't like they had never had oil, but they didn't keep refilling it. No, they got comfortable with what they had. Well, I'll get to work later. I'm okay with what I have. That's what they thought. I'm okay with what I have. I'm comfortable. The one time they had filled their lamps with oil, but they just didn't keep it filled. We'll go to the store tomorrow, or we'll go to the store later. You know, they were just, they took no reserves there in verse 3. They were satisfied with what they had, was all they needed. What did Jesus say? You think you're rich, but you're actually poor, because you've drained away the oil. It's been used up. They were satisfied with what they had, all they needed. They were really comfortable with what they had. And you remember back in Revelation 3:17, it says, they believed they had need of nothing. It's like me. One time, wife had all preparing all the meal. All I had to do was put the steaks on the grill outside. That's all I had to do. What's it, 15 minutes? Oh, yeah, I crank it up. Go in and get them. When I get there, the fire was out. I'd run out of propane. No meat with dinner. No meat with dinner. That'd make a grown man cry. I'm telling you. There it is. It's all there. And no meat. Because I didn't have a reserve. When I had propane, didn't I? One time the bottle was full. And I'd gradually used it up. Didn't think I needed a reserve. Yes, that would. Verse 5 and 6 there. While the bridegroom was delayed. There's that time again. That expectation. Where is he? What's happened? Just getting tired, satisfied with the way we are. He's not here. When I see the right signs, then I'm going to get ready. You know, I got time to go get some propane, you know, or get some oil, whatever I need. Get boned up spiritually. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. Notice they all did slumber and sleep. You know, they did all. And at midnight, in verse 6, a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out and meet him." Oh, what a shock that would have been. Oh, well, you know, we've been expecting it for 50 years or whatever. But that's exaggeration, of course. They were here, they were waiting on the bridegroom. We don't know how long. But then they were told to go out and meet him. In verse 7, then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. It says they all arose and trimmed. And the foolish said, "Give us some of your oil." Why? Because our lamps are going out. We're running out of fuel right now. Thing is, you can't borrow God's Spirit. The Father has to give you the Spirit. You can't borrow it from someone else. You can't go in with your mate or your friend or the minister. It's given by the Father. You can't borrow it when the time comes. If we would, let's go back to Psalms 119, 105. Psalms 119. Psalms in verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Okay, the virgins had the lamps. And apparently they had, you could say, they had the word of God. And they may have had it memorized. You know, the Pharisees, Sadducees, they could quote the Bible inside and out. And we know a lot of people that know all about the Bible. And that's a light. But, you know, you need the lamp, right? You need God's word. But to understand it, to understand God's word, you need the oil, the Holy Spirit, God. And that's where the virgins were running out. They had the word. They probably could have quoted scriptures. I mean, Satan can probably quote any scripture you want. But to understand, you need the oil. And I would like to turn back to Revelation 3. Revelation 3 again. I might go back here a couple times. Revelation 3. In verse 17 and 18. Because you say, Revelation 3, 17, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, then what does Jesus say? I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich and have white garments, and that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve. He said, I can't counsel you to buy from me gold. Yep, we need to buy the gold from Jesus Christ. And of course, all we got? All we got is our life. There's not some spiritual money that we're making. So let's look at Psalms 51. If you would, Psalms 51. And we see Psalms 51 in verse 2. We'll start with verse 1 on Psalms 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. Yes, we need lots of mercy. You remember when the publican and the Pharisee came before God, one of them. Of course, the Pharisee, I thank you, God, that I'm so righteous and I tithe and I fast twice a week. And the publican beat on his breast and say, have mercy on me. See, that's what it is. We're all the publican, just we need to admit it and know that we have to buy gold tried in the fire. Psalms 51, blot out my transgressions and wash me thoroughly from my iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. For he said, I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is always before me. Against you only have I sinned. Does this sound like a very comfortable person with what he is? He doesn't sound too comfortable with himself. And done evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge? No. And I see verse 10. This is how we would buy gold. One of the ways is go to God and say, create in me a clean heart. You know, when you go before God, you always got to be thinking, and I'm praying to God, is it my human spirit that's praying or God's spirit in me? Sometimes, you know, you have to say, Lord, don't listen to my spirit, because what I'm thinking is can be punitive, it can be for vanity, It can be self-righteous, but listen to your spirit that you've given me. In other words, create in me a clean heart. God, take away this satisfied spirit, which we all will have a tendency to be that way. Create in me a clean heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. No, if God's Holy Spirit's taken away, what's left? The spirit of man, the carnal spirit. And that carnal spirit is there when you're down on your knees to pray. It can be there. So we want to pray with God's spirit. So we need that oil. We need to buy that gold tried in the fire. Sometimes trials are needed to buy that gold. Sometimes you pay with your life, not being comfortable with the way that we are. Not self-righteous or vain like those in Revelation 3. You know, some people have said, well, these are errors of the time in the church. Others say, well, those characteristics probably are in all the church. So we have to do our part in spreading the gospel. You know, we have to be involved with God. And what's he doing in this world? Are we involved with it? What's he doing? Are we on the sideline riding it out because we're so comfortable in the way that we are spiritually? You know, we can just sit back in the world and kind of retire from spiritual overcoming. You know, and stop being a light to those around us. You know, we can't be under peer pressure to the point where we're fearful to live God's way. You know, I've been at times, well, I have to take off for the feast. I have to go tell the boss. Well, I got to take off. Well, what's going on? Well, we're having a church conference or something, you know. I'm not really telling why I'm taking off, because God tells me to take off, and it's his holy feast, you know. And of course, you have to use wisdom in this and know who you're talking to. But being a light, not fearful to live God's way. Stay with the truth of the matter. What is the truth? Keep up with what's going on in the work. How involved are we really at times, I think? Oh, yeah, I haven't even read any of those lately, Beyond Today, this or that. You know, how involved? You know, Beyond Today puts out a lot of information. I mean, a lot of information for us to live by and to pray about. So, brethren, are we prepared for the bridegroom? Are we prepared for the bridegroom, or are we just waiting on him? We're just waiting. Well, Jesus, I'm just here waiting. I'm comfortable here, and, you know, I don't really need the talent. I'll just keep it for you. You know, I won't really use your spirit, this tremendous value, unbelievable value. You know, and the virgins did doze off. It says all of them dozed off. That's kind of taking in all of us, wouldn't it? Then this may signify that maybe at the end time, maybe members are not as spiritually alert as they should be. And I certainly know that. I know. I talk about me, I know at times, but it's easy to forget and just go on. The five virgins neglected their spiritual life. They slept it out and let the lamps run out of oil. Their spiritual life had just dwindled down to a flicker. And then when they needed some light, they didn't have any. And you know, the one talent, he thought he could put off using God's talent. It's just one. You know, I need to go on about my business. I need to go on about my life. I'll deal with this talent later. And then when the master comes, all at once, here he is. Oh, here he is. Oh, well, it's too late to do anything with the talent. I'll just give it back to him. You know, Revelation 3:17, you know, they're saying, I'm very comfortable with my spiritual life. I think we're in Revelation 3. Because you say, I'm rich and become wealthy and have I need of nothing and do not know. Many times we don't know. We're so comfortable, we don't know how miserable spiritually we are. You know, we just want to talk about me. You know, God, use God's word to cut through the deceptions, whether it's false prophets. You know, we should not know any, just stay comfortable with our carnal mind, with our mindset. You know, my mindset is, if I think something's wrong, I want to do some punitive damage. Not just get even, I want to get some punitive damage, you know. That's total carnality. That's the spirit of Satan. You know, we get comfortable with the righteousness of the world. Well, we just keep tolerating more. Yeah, that's good. You know, we want to get to where we're no longer comfortable with our righteousness. Like I said, don't listen to my mind, but your spirit in me is what we have to pray, probably many times. Brethren, let's talk about God and what he has given us to do. There's what we can talk about. We enjoy talking about ourselves, and that's, at times, that's fine and good. Let's look at Malachi chapter 3, if you would. Malachi, the very last book, what we call the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, Malachi 3:16. Malachi 3:16. Then those who feared the Lord, notice who was it? Those that feared the Lord, in a proper way, of course, spoke to one another. In the King James, it says they spoke often to one another. Fellowship is very important. And the Eternal listened and he heard them. And so then what? So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Eternal and who meditate on his name in a humble attitude and who meditate on that name. Or esteem it. Think about it. You know, they do that often. Well, I've talked enough about me and me, the comfortable Christian. Now let's talk about God's plan for humanity and our part in that plan.